Support for NPR podcasts comes from Progressive, serving customers since 1937. Service and rate information available at progressive.com or from local independent agents.
Welcome to World Cafe, Words and Music from WXPN. I'm David Dye. My guest, Justin Curry, is best known as one of the founding members of the popular Scottish outfit Delamitri. Delamitri's jangly pop found a worldwide audience in the mid-90s with the release of the album Twisted. We haven't heard much from the band since their 2002 effort, Can You Do Me Good? Contrary to rumors, Justin Curry says Delamitri hasn't broken up, but Curry has focused on a solo effort called What Is Love For? Before we hear tunes from the new record, let's start with Curry performing a Delamitri classic, Always the Last to Know.
So you're in love with someone else, someone who burns within your soul, and it looks like I am the last to know. I hear you've never felt so alive, so much desire beyond control. And as usual, I am the last to know. The last to know how you're feeling. The last to know where you are. The last to know if you're happy now, or if he's treating you like I treated you, or if he's cruel. And I'll be the last to know.
You certainly recognize that voice is our guest today, Justin Curry from Delamitri, the band who ended their major label excursion and kind of gone into hiatus back in 2002. And by all accounts, when that happened, everybody involved felt liberated. And Justin has now released a gorgeous album of kind of anti-love songs called What Is Love For? And we're going to get a chance to have Justin play live for us today. Now, what process did you go to end up doing this album? Because it's a lot of the sentiments on here might have been in Delamitri songs, mm-hmm. but when they were, they would have had two guitars and kind of a poppier flavor.
Yeah, they would. I mean, or a lot of these songs, a good half of the album, you wouldn't have been able to arrange that way, and certainly Ian and I wouldn't have countenanced making a whole album like this. So it was a kind of an opportunity for me to make an album with a theme running all the way through it, with very similar kinds of songs and similar kinds of arrangements. An opportunity, because Delamitri wouldn't have done that, because we were always into having a variety. We were into having ballads as well as rockers and all that sort of stuff. And there was always an element in Delamitri of, because we earned an audience reasonably early in our so-called career, we were always aware of having to produce material that, some of which anyway, would satisfy the audience's expectations. I didn't have that with this record at all. I just did whatever I wanted to do. And as a result, I'm perfectly content with the possibility that the existing Delamitri audience won't really want it or like it. That wasn't a concern of mine. The only concern was being honest and just making a record that I wanted to listen to late at night after a bottle of wine.
Did you have any models for an album like that?
Well, I had things that I maybe aspire to is not the right word, but I had these let me think. You know, these albums that I always admired that are unattainable, nobody will ever beat, things like the first Curtis Mayfield solo record, Curtis, and the first John Lennon solo record. Records made by guys that had been in groups for, you know, most of their 20s and then made these solo records that were suddenly very personal and actually relatively uncommercial. And that seemed to me to be a good thing. And to a certain extent, Tunnel of Love by Bruce Springsteen as well, which is kind of, I mean, I suppose maybe you could say that Nebraska was his first solo record, but in a way it's kind of his first solo record in that it's very, extremely personal. The themes aren't as kind of broad and epic as things in his previous record. So those were, I've always been inspired by those records, and if those records hadn't existed, I don't think I would have made a solo record. I'm not sure how worthwhile it is making solo records if you just do a slightly different version of what you did with your band. I think it's important to try and do something fairly different.
Well, Tunnel of Love isn't a bad model for this, although that was kind of a divorce album, and I'm not sure, is this a breakup album, or is this just how you see love?
Well, the Delamitri always had lots of breakup songs on the albums, but this is predominantly breakup songs or kind of cynical songs written from a perspective of coming out of love and not really knowing what that feeling is or what happened. I mean, it's easy to get into writing breakup songs along the lines of a lot of country songs where there's a kind of nostalgia and sentiment. I wanted to avoid any of that. I wanted to make these breakup songs quite bitter and quite mean. Or in fact, very mean on the whole, because that's things that I felt and I know that other people have felt. So I wanted to kind of connect with that rather than, I don't know, I didn't want to sugar it up too much.
Hmm. Well, why don't you do one so people know what we're talking about?
Okay, well, I'll do the title track, What Is Love For?
What is love for? Does it wash good people ashore? Does it keep the wolf from the door? What is love for? What does love do? Does it make life worth going through? Keep you safe from the suicide crew? What does love do? What is love for? Who does it help?
A one-eyed... What is love for? The title track of our guest Justin Curry's first solo album. Justin Curry from Delamitri has released What Is Love For. It's out in the U.S. on Ryko Disc, and that is the perfect song to play after what we were talking about, because that kind of questions the whole endeavor. Now you're from Glasgow,
yeah.
And obviously you're Scottish, uh-huh. and forgive me for characterizing an entire country, but there is kind of this Scottish attitude that things are bad, life is hard, it's only going to get worse.
Well, nothing is so bad that it can't get worse. That's my motto.
Well, underlying that, though, is a kind of this unspoken romantic thing that maybe I'm wrong, mm-hmm. that it might get better. Does that kind of fit these songs?
Yeah, definitely. There's a cliche, which is really a truism about the Scottish character, and maybe the British character, I don't know, where we are deeply cynical and negative about everything, but underneath there is this eternal hope springs eternal, that the world will be a wonderful place at some point, and that life is full of meaning rather than utterly pitiless and pointless. And I quite like that, because it gives you, especially as a writer, it gives you enormous scope to smuggle in romantic ideas in very hard and bitter little packages, rather than just coming straight out and saying, you know, I want the world to be a better place, or love can save souls, you know. Rather than just saying that outright, there's something more interesting about disguising it. Anyway, it may be a cliche about the Scottish character, I don't know, but I would kind of ascribe to that, yeah. And it does rain a lot as well, which leads us to looking upon things, you know, moaning a lot from day to day. Things are bleak, it's raining, we can't see the sunshine, but inwardly knowing that, you know, there might be a really great summer around the corner.
Yeah, what's it like at Glasgow when the sun finally shines?
Well, people go kind of crazy. Even in winter, they go sort of crazy. I mean, the last couple of days here have been really bright and sunny, and people are kind of running around like, you know, nutcases, buying far too many Christmas presents and and drinking far too much alcohol. But in summer it's not. Some people just throw their clothes off and go to the park with massive bottles of cider and stay in the park all night, you know, until they have to put their clothes back on because the police tell them to.
And of course, they're all sunburned after that. So.
As lobsters.
Justin Curry is our guest, and he's got a new solo album, and we have time for one more. You want to do another one from the new one?
Yes. I brought my friend Ken's harmonium, which is very squeaky and slightly out of tune, and I'm going to attempt to play something in that mess, so excuse the squeaks on the pedals.
Sometimes I love you, sometimes I hate you, and I know you struggle too, it's in your nature, 'cause you and me were never meant to be together, but you took off your dress, and something in that mess got changed forever.
Something in that mess played live on That Is a Harmonium. So when you go out and do a show, do you stay with the album or do you mix it up?
I do most of the album, and I do about 50% old stuff, although I've chosen the Delamitri things fairly carefully. I don't do any of the rockers anymore, and I don't do any of the things that I co-wrote with Ian, because they tend to be rockier, and I feel that I'd be somehow betraying our partnership by doing those things on the road. So it's kind of more of a singer-songwritery feel. Delamitri always really avoided the singer-songwriter thing. We didn't bang on about the writing process, and we kind of saw ourselves as a sort of Thin Lizzy with lyrics, rather than something more, earnest. But now I've made a solo record, I don't mind coming across as overly earnest and terribly worthy and all that kind of stuff.
Thank you so much for playing live, and thanks for
my pleasure.
It's a real treat.
Justin Curry's first solo album, What Is Love For, is on Ryko. I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia and xpn.org. To hear my complete conversation with Justin Curry along with full performances, visit worldcafe.npr.org. Thanks for joining me. World Cafe is streamed live every Monday through Friday between 2 and 4 p.m. Eastern. You can hear it at xpn.org.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the 286-horsepower TL Type S with a solar sensing climate control system. Learn more at Acura.com.